Linda Lee Alter started collecting artwork because she felt that women artists were not represented well in museums.
Yeah, she felt they were underrepresented and that she herself felt like she needed to educate herself about who are the practicing women artists that were represented in galleries. And so it was a learning process for her. When she first started collecting, she just gravitated towards what she was interested in. She had some work by some self-taught artists and a couple of artists who were associated with Chicago, but it was an experience of being at a museum and realizing she hadn't seen a single work by a woman artist on view that made her sort of think about herself and her collecting practices, and then, you know, think about how when she was at galleries, her attention wasn't being drawn to female artists frequently. And she didn't even know. She couldn't name very many names. So she felt like it was a whole experience that she had to immerse herself in order to help these artists become more visible. And again, that's kind of the thing she says over and over again, is that she wants these artists to be visible so that they can be discovered by other generations of not only female artists and male artists who are looking for inspiration, but also curators, scholars, critics, so that the same sort of historical problems don't keep happening to women, artists at least.
Was she motivated then to collect as many different kinds of art that she could?
She tried to do that. That was definitely one of her plans. There are people that she kept collecting again and again. There's a lot of really strong work by Elizabeth Catlett, for instance, in the collection. Elizabeth Catlett was born in 1915 and just died within the last year or so. And she was an African-American artist who studied initially with Grant Wood, but then went on to become an incredibly influential printmaker and sculptor after sort of learning through going to school. But then she went down to Mexico City and was involved in printmaking there and became a master printmaker. And her work drew attention to racial inequality and documented a burgeoning civil rights movement and made dignified images of black women over and over and over again. And I mentioned some Philadelphia-based artists, Judith Schechter, who has become internationally known as a major contemporary stained glass window artist. She uses stained glass and studies historical forms and the whole history of stained glass in ecclesiastical buildings in Europe, in it's like the Christian iconography that's used in it, but Judith is coming at it from her own personal point of view, using her autobiography, drawing on graphic novels and other kinds of influence that are parallel to fine art. So she's another person that's really well displayed here.
Is it possible to summarize the range of media and subjects that this exhibition includes? Let's say you have this amazing collection of a variety of media and subjects. How did you choose to organize it?
I knew I wanted to get as much of it out on display as I could. Lee gave us a collection that's almost 500 objects. So there's an exhibition on the first floor that's divided by theme. And in talking to Lee about what really mattered to her and what thinking about subjects that she seemed to organically collect around, that basically pointed to what the organizing principle of the main show would be, which is women's vision transforming the world around them, what they see. And because so much of the work is about the visible world and very little is about abstraction, it seemed natural to do that. So the first couple rooms is about identity. It's about selfhood, about self-portraiture, looking at the artists looking at themselves and making sometimes literal self-portraits that shows their faces or their bodies. Some of it gets a little bit more conceptual. So there's a piece by Elaine Rycheck that is a self-portrait as a sampler, as a needlepoint sampler in the manner that women did in the 18th and 19th century, that shows her name, different permutations of her name in needlework over and over and over again. So that's one example of that. So it's not an image of Elaine Rycheck's face and body, it's her name and all the different ways she's called legally, her married name, her name before being married, her monogram, diminutive, sort of cute versions of her name that are probably things her family calls her, things like that. There's a piece by Anna Mendieta, who was an artist who died tragically young. There's still controversy over how she died. So that's a photograph from a series of works that she did in landscape, and they're called the Silhouetta series. And it's basically a silhouette or an imprint or an impression of her body in the soil, sometimes in grass, but all basically in the natural landscape. And she's documented these, and then the image of the body gradually is worn away through the natural process of the earth. So, but this is very much seen as a self-portrait by her. And so that's a pretty broad way, some distinctions. But this was something that you find, I think, was a natural way of trying to make sense out of what Lee formed, because there's such disparate practices, but they're sometimes about some similar issues. And so they're in a dialogue here in each one of the sections. The second room of the installation actually gets into selfhood in a broader way, connecting the self to community and to family. So there's a lot of images of mothers, whether it's the artist's mothers or mothers-to-be or images of mothers and children. That's something that I noticed a lot of in Lee's collection. And as you can see, they're just radically different in terms of their approach.
For example, let's compare two.
So for example, you have Joyce Tremon's graphite, charcoal and colored pencil, actually, drawing of her mother, next to Beverly McIver's painting of her mother on her deathbed. And then in front of that is an onyx sculpture by Elizabeth Catlett of a mother and child, very much influenced by pre-Columbian art. And then on the central wall, as you walk into that room, is a painting by Alice Neal from 1975 called Claudia Bach Pregnant. And it's a painting of a model who Alice Neal knew and who agreed to pose as part of an ongoing series Neal was doing at the time of pregnant nudes. And so all of these paintings are drastically different. Claudia Bach's is unique in that it's, I believe, the only one in which the sitter actually looks right at you. And it's not confrontational. I think it's confident, it's assured, it's direct, and there's a kind of strength and beauty inside and out, partly because of that. And I think coming when it did, when Alice Neal was interested in what younger artists were doing in the feminist art movement in the early 1970s, I think to some extent this is Alice Neal reacting to that a bit and really owning the subject matter, and also, again, turning this sort of tradition of the nude totally on its head and making it into something different in a way that I think only a female artist could.
I wasn't sure if this show was intending to say, see, women paint many of the same subjects men do, but in their own way, or women have a whole different window on the world, or that just as there's a variety in the way men perceive the world, there's a variety in the way women perceive the world.
Going back to the aims of the collector, of Lee Alter, I've looked at this collection, and one of the things that I think she's resisted is putting together a collection that could be pigeonholed as a women's collection, you know? So she, I don't think she self-consciously did this, or maybe, you know, she might disagree with me, but I feel she's very much aware of trying to collect a range of things. But in doing so, she made a collection that cannot be pinned down as, you know, I mean, if you just sort of think of other exhibitions that have happened in the last several years, documenting a particular movement, like the feminist art movement, there was a show called WAC that was circulating that was at the Brooklyn Art Museum. And it, to some extent, I think, gave a very narrow view of what the people involved in that movement were up to. And a lot of it boiled down to women's bodies and depicting women's bodies. And this is an important, relatively new subject in terms of the frankness and the politicization in which women's bodies were open to by female artists. And there is some material like that in this collection, but it really resists being boiled down to anything. And part of that, I think, Lee would, I think, call that a success, because then you can't necessarily walk through here and say, these are feminine paintings, or this is a woman's viewpoint strictly. And so I think she wanted to just make sure that was not something that happened. And certainly there are paintings and works of art, other works of art in this collection that the maker would assert that this is a female viewpoint, but many of them would say, when I'm in my studio, I'm not thinking about my gender, I'm just doing my work. So for me as a curator, I didn't want to make that the story up front. I wanted to make sense of what kind of collection Lee had put together. And so much of it is about dialogues between subjects and within that a really broad range. And because it's a lot for a viewer to digest walking through here, there's a lot of people who viewers are not going to know who they are. They're really sort of underknown artists or emerging artists in addition to some of the famous people. I wanted to just give an opportunity for people to discover in the way that I discovered when I went to Lee's for the first time, because a lot of the artists in Lee's collection I didn't know about until I saw them in Lee's collection.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.